Today I have a number of scriptures that I want to read, and I don't want to read them twice, and I have them throughout the scriptures. But the title of my message is Sent with Power, and living in the resurrection, in light of the resurrection. So we have been speaking about this for the last few weeks, and since Easter. So I want to start with the book of Luke. Verse 1, and it says in the first book, no, Luke is the, the Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. The book of Acts is written by Luke. Luke wrote the gospel, and at the end of the gospel, he's tying it in, and then the beginning of the book of Acts. So it's one, kind of one big letter that's authored by Luke. And he says the first book, which means the gospel of Luke, O Theophilus is the individual to whom he is speaking or writing. I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, looking at the gospel, and until the day when he was taken up after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. So he gave commandment, he gave to them. Then to them who, to them he presented himself alive after his passion, his crucifixion, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then verse 6. So when he had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? See, one of the main points of the message is this all there is? You know, do we have the full understanding for God in our life? Now, Jesus has risen from the dead. They're not quite sure what that means, the disciples. They're, you know, it's like, they're still, you know, before Jesus was crucified, they thought he was going to be king and chase out, you know, deliver them from Rome, and the disciples would sit around him like a council or a ruling council with Jesus. Well, Jesus died and he rose from the dead. So now you're going to give us the kingdom. You're going to restore Israel. That's why you're here. And Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Make it a kingdom like David had. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. This isn't all there is. This kingdom that you're looking for, establish a nation building, he said, it's more than this, but you need to wait. So, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go. So we have this understanding now. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has spent 40 days with the disciples, appearing to different groups, you know, as many as 500 at one sitting or one time. And so now it's 40 days later, and Jesus has ascended to heaven. So the progression of our messages from Easter, the empty tomb, Christ's resurrection changes despair into hope. He was dead. We went to the tomb, and he's not there. You know, these crazy women said they saw him and talked to him. You know, they still didn't know. The road to Emmaus, we spoke of that. The two having these questions that they had about Jesus that we thought that he would be. And so Jesus explained all this to them. He walked with them on the road to Emmaus, and then they finally saw him for who he was when he broke bread and prayed in their home. Thomas, he believes the resurrection overcomes doubt because he didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They all told him he did, that Jesus risen, but he unless I see, you know, he wouldn't do that. Peter restored. When Peter was, Peter had denied Jesus. We talked a little bit about it this morning in Sunday school. Peter, the character of Peter, all right? If you look at him, there's boisterous, boastful Peter, okay? He's we would call him an uneducated fisherman. But it doesn't mean he's not smart. He just isn't, he's uneducated in the sense of what they would, what the Romans would consider. And so Jesus, and you would think that, okay, Jesus is going to establish his kingdom on earth. You'd think he'd pick somebody who was well-educated in the scriptures and in the Old Testament. But instead, he chose people who were faithful in their service to God, but hadn't a real revelation or a real understanding of the Old Testament, and then bringing it into the New Testament. So Peter... Peter, whenever at the Last Supper, Jesus talks about his departing, and Peter stands up. Jesus mentioned that they would forsake him, and Peter stands up. I will never forsake you. I am, even though all of these guys, you know, can you imagine that? Yeah, all these guys, they may forsake you, but not me. I'll die for you. Peter, you're going to deny me three times tonight. And Peter's, no, I can't do that. And so Peter, they go to the garden and Jesus is praying and they come to arrest Jesus. And this is where Peter, he comes to the rescue. He brought his sword to the battle. And so he's up and he's going to fight. You know, he's going to kill the guards and the people come to arrest Jesus. And he whacks the guy and he cuts off his ear. I don't think he was aiming for his ear. So Jesus said, put that away, Peter. See, what we have there is a misunderstanding of what faith should be. Peter misunderstood what it was all about. And so Jesus told him, it's not about this, Peter. And then later... That evening, Peter was going in and Jesus was on trial and he stood by a fire of coals, charcoal, and a maid, it says, it's a slave girl, asked him a question, are you one of them? Not me, you know. And then three times he denies Jesus and the cock crows and he remembers what Jesus said. And then we have Peter at the Sea of Galilee. Sometime between his resurrection and the 40 days when he ascends, and he asked Peter in the presence of all the other disciples, Peter, do you love me more than all of these? And so the whole group would have had to, Peter, it's we're going to bring you to task. You're going to answer for that boisterous moment. And he said to Jesus, I love you. If you love me, feed my sheep. And he says, do you love me? And Peter is talking about what Jesus had Peter confess three times was his love for God. Not that he had failed, but that he was loved and that he loved Jesus. Too often we think of our failures as preventing us from going forward. But God's love for us and our love for him, for God, does away with our failures. It puts them aside. Failures are not why Jesus came. He didn't come to get us into heaven only. He came for us to live with him and to walk with him and be empowered in this life to serve and to understand. So today's message is sent out with power, and it's talking about Pentecost. And so Jesus proves that he is alive at Easter and the Easter series, and you would think that this would be enough. You would think it would be enough to know Jesus and to know that he is alive. Well, we find that there's more to our relationship with Christ than knowing that we're going to heaven. So the goal of this encounter between Peter and Jesus did not restore Peter so Peter could feel forgiven. Many times people have come to me, they've done this, they've done that, and you know, the whole idea is and help them to restore their relationship with Christ that they are forgiven. But being forgiven is just the first part of it. Being forgiven is part of the continual growth of our relationship with Christ and his relationship with us. The gospel never ends with just restoration. Now I say just, but restoration is perfect. I mean, restoring, catching, you know, someone confessing Christ on their deathbed, that's good. But having a whole lifetime of service and living with God and God living through you, that's the goal. That's the place. So we always begin where we're at and we go forward with Christ. For us, Jesus doesn't save us just so we can get into heaven. Okay? Some people say, well, I think I've told you this one. One individual, he was kind of mixed up in his religion and his faith. And he said, I talked about, you know, going to heaven. And he says, well, I got some friends in heaven. I said, okay. He says, yeah, when I get there, I'm sure they're going to open up a basement window and I can get in. And it's like, what scripture is that based on? You know, there's a window that I can crawl through in the you know, basement of heaven. It's like, it doesn't work that way. But he was not one of those who could repent. He knew that Jesus, and the reason he was had his disease and was dying was that Jesus needed help in heaven. So he was going to go help him. Okay, Peter. So he's going to heaven to help God, you know. That's the only reason he was dying. I've got to help God. He needs me. Well, he needs you here, not there. So each of us are on a divine assignment. We have a divine purpose. And that purpose is to serve God where we are and with what he presents to us. You are commissioned, like Peter, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Well, yes. Well, then feed my sheep. So we have a purpose to take care of one another. We have a purpose that we are living with God, for God, and in his presence. And so what do we do? How do we continue that mission? So many of us would say, well, you know, I'm just not qualified. Well, I'm not a speaker. I'm not a teacher. Qualified. Well, what did Jesus ask Peter? Do you love me? He didn't say, Peter, are you now humble? Do you now see how you blew it by saying you were better than all the other disciples? He says, Peter, do you love me? See, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. That's what we have, the power of the Spirit coming upon us. And we find that John the Baptist, he baptized in water. You know, what happened with the water? The water came, you know, they were immersed in the water, and the water, as it were, came upon them. All right? So the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us like being baptized, immersed in water. And then we have the gifts of the Spirit, and then we have the fruits of the Spirit. And it's all of the package, the whole package deal of the Holy Spirit working in our life. And then we have the message of speaking in tongues, which is a sign of the deep commitment or the change that has gone on the inside. But we find that the disciples, they needed to be empowered. And you know, like, are you going to restore your kingdom now? Well, Peter suddenly decides, you know, that, you know, the Spirit came upon him. What does Peter do? Well, Peter takes off and he begins his message on the coming of Christ and that of who he is. And so the disciples had spent 3 years following Jesus. Now Jesus is telling them, it's your turn. It's your turn to pick up the mantle, to pick this up. But they wonder, our turn to do what? You know, what is it that we're supposed to do? The resurrection was never meant to be just the event. The resurrection was an event upon which everything else would depend. If Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, all of the teachings of Christ are just like any other good book. But Jesus is risen from the dead. And he has sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. So, I am with you always. Every believer is to ask the same question as Peter. Peter was asked, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. It is the work of each of us to take care of one another. The resurrection power requires dependence. The resurrection power is based on dependence. Dependence on who? On the Holy Spirit. On the Word of God. That would speak to our hearts. So, I want us to do something. I want you to look here, okay? Look here. Have you ever asked yourself, what else is there for me to do? What else is there for me to do? It's like we've reached a point, and are we just continuing the same thing? Or does God have something more? And the challenge is for us to know that there is something more. And it isn't what we create, it's what the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and the strength that the Spirit gives to us. So God has a way of leading us to where he wants us to be. So the disciples, they needed more than what they had. But Jesus is telling them, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Now, we need to be empowered. I should have brought that out in our Sunday school lesson. It has a number of meanings to be empowered to do the works, the miracles, power of the Holy Spirit to give us the strength and desire to go forward, to continue our faith when difficulties come, empowered to go on, the tenacity, the strength. It's more than just stubbornness. Some people can be stubborn. Do you know any of those? I was just wondering. Stubborn is not what God is calling us to be, all right? He is calling us to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit and the tenacity, the strength. So the resurrection power produces hope. So as Jesus ascends, 40 days have passed, and Jesus has risen from the dead. He's appeared to them and to the people, many, many of them, and many times over during this 40 days. And the disciples were not grieving as they had before. When Jesus died on the cross, they went into hiding. 40 days later, Jesus ascends to heaven. They come back rejoicing. They're happy. Jesus left, but he's not dead. You see, that the fulfillment of Christ coming, his resurrection power, they totally misunderstood that, or they didn't have any concept. So can you imagine the disciples at the Last Supper and saying, well, is there any more? Is this all there is? You know, going to conquer Romans, and then after the crucifixion and he's in the grave, is this all there is? Then we have the resurrection. Wow, is this all there is? Then we have Jesus ascending to heaven and saying, go to Jerusalem. And they say, well, isn't this all there is? But there was much more waiting for them. It was the coming of the Spirit. So we remind ourselves about those who were on the road to Emmaus. All right? They walked and they were in confusion because they had hoped that Jesus would, you know, start a new kingdom. They had many questions. And what did Jesus do? He talked to them and resolved their questions. In the upper room, they were in fear. Fear that they would be found and crucified or executed, just like Jesus. But they weren't. Because Jesus came. He appeared to them. And then there's Thomas, his struggle. His struggle with his doubts. He could not understand why Jesus would come when he wasn't there. But where was Thomas? It's almost like he's mad at the disciples and he's mad at Jesus because he came to them when I wasn't there. I don't believe this. People said that same excuse. You know, why did you get blessed and I didn't? Why did they get this and I didn't get it? You know, it's we don't know why. We don't know why Thomas didn't show up and was with the rest of them. But they were assuring him, Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. And so Jesus solved Thomas's doubts. See my hands? See my side? You know, it's me, Thomas. Then Peter wrestled with failure. His boisterous self-confidence declared, I've been with people, some really arrogant individuals. And they just rub me the wrong way. I prayed for them. I won't not tell you what I asked, but these arrogant people and their pious assumptions, you know, it's like, it's like, you're better off going your way. I'll do what I'm supposed to. You're accountable for your life. I'm accountable for mine. I'm going this direction. And so it is important that we look at what God wants for our life. And faith is like that. There is belief. There are questions. There are failures. There are expectations that are not met. There are blessings that are met. You know, we are able to see the hand of God moving in our life. And so I think of the challenge in our response to what Jesus asked Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me more than the questions you have? Do you love Christ more than the problems that you face? Do you love me more than the events of life? Do you love me more than all of this? You see, our relationship is and service to God isn't about everything being perfect. It's about how that we can respond to the imperfections of life. And the Holy Spirit prepares us. He empowers us. He gives us strength, wisdom, and direction as we go through the events. So the resurrection power is the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit makes real to us our relationship with Christ, God's love for us, our forgiveness, our dependency, our faith. Your name is written in God's book of life. We are going to live forever in His presence.